Good morning and welcome each one to the service this morning. Thank you, Nathan, for sharing that song with us this morning. And it's always good to learn new songs. And Nathan is embodying what I'm planning on talking about this morning, and that is living with risk. It was a risk to come up here and try to teach a song that most of us do not know. But it was a risk that was worth taking for a greater good. And that's kind of what I'd like to think about this morning. I talked to a young man one time who was regaling me with stories of stupid things he had done. Times he had driven excessively fast for no good reason. Done other things that were very risky. And I, after he had happily shared his stories with me a while, I said, "So why, what drove you to doing these crazy things?" And he had a deep, profound answer. He said, "I don't know." That is reckless risk. Risk with no meaning. And lots of potential disaster. I also spoke to a man one time who worked on these great big radio towers. And he would go up and service equipment and change light bulbs and things like that up on these towers. And that's a very dangerous, manual job, very physically demanding, climbing up sometimes thousands of feet in the air. Having to take your tools with you and working on this equipment up there. And I asked him, I said, "Why do you do it?" And he said, "Well, I have lots of training." The money was good. But he said, I have lots of training, and I trust my equipment. I always check my equipment before I go up, and I can trust my equipment, and I can trust my training." Something like that is what we call a calculated risk. You weigh the options and you decide, this is something that I can handle. It's risky, but the odds are in my favor. I also talked to a man who was a Christian in an environment that was very hostile to Christians. He had been chased out of his village. He had been separated from his family. He had been beaten many times, at least twice. He was left for dead. He had changed his name to Samuel because he said he wanted to be like Samuel in the Bible, whose life was dedicated to God. And when I talked to him, he was, after our conversation, he slipped out into the night because he wanted to catch some transportation before it stopped for the night so he could get to another village. But the gospel had not been preached yet. And that is what I call a purposeful risk. We all live with risk. Waking up in the morning is a risk. Going to work, doing our normal daily activities, having a relationship is a risk. My wife took a great risk when she agreed to marry me, one which she has had. Ample reason to regret. But we advance at the intersection of risk and safety when we weigh the options and make a choice. God has given us a tremendous gift that we have to risk to use. And whether we choose to use that gift or neglect it reveals our perspective of who God is. And I believe that God has invested in us. When he gave himself for our sins, he was making an investment in our future. And when it comes down to it, the only thing that I have that is worthwhile well, it's not the only thing that's worthwhile, but everything that is worthwhile stems from this, and that is the blood of Christ, because that is what gives meaning to the rest of our lives. But sometimes that's something that we cling to, and we want to keep that to ourselves, and we're so afraid maybe that we're going to lose this that we don't invest it back. God didn't intend that his investment in us was for us alone. He intended that we carry on that investment. And there's some things that God has given us, practical, real life things, that he expects us to risk in order to further this investment. He's given us things like time, things like money, things like talents. And those are things that we might have to risk in order to further this investment. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 6 through 14. And Paul here is talking to a new Christian. And he's telling him some important things that he needs to know to live this new life in Christ. And he talks about the risk that is associated with that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Paul is talking about a risk of living out the gospel, saying living out the gospel won't be easy, and that's true for us. Yet the gospel in my life is evidence of the gospel itself, both in what it does to me, in the transformation of my life, and in the relationship that I have with Christ, and also to the world at large, because it is not natural, the things that the gospel in my life will do to me. You will not respond in the ways that are natural to you to respond, because you have a higher calling. It's not easy, but it's living it out is an evidence of the gospel. It's a larger truth on display for all to see. Don't shy away from what's right in favor of what's comfortable. A number of these thoughts are ones that I jotted down actually a number of years ago when I was at some, I'm not sure exactly how to say it, maybe some identity crisis in my life, a point where we come to sometimes when trying to determine what God is trying to tell us through some difficult things that he gives us. And one of them is that easy association is not evidence of Christ at work. Christ-likeness is evidence of Christ at work. A holy calling means we're not only to do good things, but we're to live life like Christ. It's a heart change that results in action. Jared talked about grace this morning, and we had that in our Sunday school as well. And this passage talks about grace as well. It says that God gives us grace. And I believe as we follow God in that grace that he has given us, we find direction. For me, I often find God's grace when I'm at the end of my rope. And maybe that's unique in the way that I am. But I fight and I fight and I fight until I'm finally at the end of my rope. And then I give in to God's grace. Why? How much better would that have been if I would have just accepted his grace at the beginning? But I fight and I fight and I fight, and finally I say, I can't do it. Well, for me, it's my pride and my stubbornness. And they keep me from submitting to the grace of God. And this is why, for me, it's because I don't want the control of God. If I give into his grace, I also give into his control of my life. And I don't want that. I like the idea of him empowering me, but not submitting myself fully into his plan. Because sometimes God's plans are scary. They take us places that are uncomfortable. And it feels more like a reckless risk than a purposeful risk or a calculated one. And I don't want to risk losing my perception of control. So instead, I risk my relationship with God and my eternal future. Because it seems risky to me to move ahead without knowing the whole road. But I've discovered that a greater risk is trying to determine the road and then missing the destination that I want. In travel, the journey is often as important as the destination. And I believe in the Christian life, it is also that way. But we focus on the destination and we learn from the journey. And as we follow, God gives us fulfillment, which is totally opposite of the things that we're told in the world. We're told to seek fulfillment. Look for fulfillment. Look for ways that you can be fulfilled. But I have found in my life that a desperation for fulfillment leads to emptiness and cynicism and despair. But risking myself and my dreams for God lead to fulfillment. And that's one of the paradoxes of the Christian life, that he gives us fulfillment as we forsake the things that we think fulfill us. And often I look at what's happening around me and I want to make decisions, and I'm fearful of what's happening in the world right now and with people that I know and relationships that I'm in, and I'm scared and I don't know what to do. There's more than just current events at stake. Eternal life is in the equation. And it's easy to panic as we look around and just make decisions based on what's happening right now rather than looking at the larger picture. It's much better to risk my current comfort and make sure that eternity is taken care of. And the focus here that Paul gave is on what Christ has done, not what Timothy can handle himself. And there are religions that are bound by everything that's physical. Everything is dependent on me, on the things that I do. There's no real hope because it's all on what I can do, what I can create, the goodness that I can generate. In Romans 8, it talks about that, about the Spirit of Christ making us free from the law of sin and death. Following Christ and finding fulfillment, we're released from that power that fear has over us of, I have to be this in myself, when we give ourselves to Christ. And God does not give us all equal gifts. He gives, as we talked about a little bit in our Sunday school this morning, he gives different grace to different people. He gives different talents, different gifts, and he does not give them equally. Some people are more gifted than others. But God does expect equal sacrifice of those gifts, of what he gives us. And I believe that's a fair requirement of a God who sees us all as equals. It's a risky thing to sacrifice, but it's a riskier thing not to sacrifice. Sacrificing leads to discomfort. Choosing not to sacrifice leads to despair. Without risk, there is a guaranteed success rate of 0%. If we want to gain, we have to risk. And when we choose the path of doing nothing, when I say, I don't want to risk, I don't want to risk my control, I don't want to risk my heart, I don't want to risk a relationship, I don't want to risk whatever it might be that I'm facing, we're telling God that we don't trust him to take care of the investment that he's made in our lives. And we don't trust him to take care of any further investment. It's only through risk that we actually can truly discover the glory that God has for us.